is Sportsfeld. We got beautiful summer days coming. I can feel it.
It's getting there. You could tell. It just picks you up.
I think about this time last year, and I think about that it was shockingly cold in early May, and then it was beautiful in mid-May.
So. I am impressed that you can remember a year ago, because I have no idea when anything happened at any time anymore.
Well, a year ago this week is pretty much the only week of the year that I consciously had to remember days. Because we got married.
Right, of course.
This coming Sunday.
That's so, a year ago. Wow.
Can you believe it? Can you believe it?
That's wild.
I know. Unbelievable.
That seems impossible.
Yeah,
like it's one of those things that obviously makes sense because it's correct. But
for sure,
impossible at the same time.
It's crazy, just incredible the change. And you know, we live in Kitchener now. Goodness sakes,
right?
Yeah, it was a cold week leading up, and then the 16th itself was a gorgeous, beautiful day. The first truly beautiful day of 2020, I would say. So yeah, that's coming up. My anniversary is Sunday.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's lovely. It's just I'm amazed.
Yeah, you're shocked. You're
genuinely kind of.
You're puzzled over the passage of time.
Mm-hmm.
What can you do?
Literally constantly.
How are you feeling about things? I'm remembering a year ago and thinking back fondly and making comparisons. How are things for you?
Things are fine, you know. Nicer weather is always good, just to like be outside a little bit, improves the mood a little bit, but I like things are fine. I don't know. It feels like a waste of a segment on a podcast that every week I'm just like, it's fine, but like nothing is different. What could possibly be like nothing in my direct life or purview is any different than it was 7 days ago.
We would never waste a podcast segment.
No, that would be crazy. You come here for important, relevant content at all times.
Yeah, like last week where we were like, we don't know if Springer's going to go in the IL or not, and then like we hung up.
So here's the passage of time point. I was literally wondering today, in anticipation of our show that we are doing right now, my brain was like, was that Springer thing last week or was that 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all meaningless time-wise now. But I'm glad it's a week ago because that seems less insane to me.
Yeah, which also means, you know, 10 days is only so long.
He ran a little bit today.
We got like a 12-player injury dump news thing from all the reporters today.
Caitlin's is 3 tweets long. I love it.
They sent down Pearson. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea, personally.
I was surprised by it.
We're obviously going to get into this. So like, I guess we'll jump into it now because what else do we have to do? I think it's a pointless move, personally. I don't see what there is more for him to learn or prove or do in the minors. Like, his big issue is command and walk rate because he walked fucking everybody on the weekend. But like his walk rate in the majors is like 18%, but in the minors it's like 3%.
Right.
So like I don't see what going and facing non-major league hitters is going to do for him at this point.
Yeah, I was surprised. I thought because
so thin at pitching. Like
absolutely. And there's a myriad of ways you could use him. You would think, right? If things weren't going well, it's like you're peppering Anthony Kay in there, who is like. ERA is around 10, and not to besmirch Anthony Kay, but the whole point is that you're giving him chances and sort of you're giving the idea that the performance probably in the long run outweighs the numbers at this point. Not that Pearson was doing that, but you know, there's ways to ease him in and ways to ease that expectation of making it an opener sort of situation. Maybe I don't know, but. Yeah, it wasn't a great one to watch. Certainly not fun to watch. I thought they would do like the Pete Walker, the school of Pete Walker was going to be like the selling point, right? That was what they told us. It's like Pete's going to work with them, right. And that's what they need. But it's like it's weird
and, like,
that
it feels sort of and like this could be wrong, obviously, but I have this feeling that he's going to go down to, what is it now? Is it still technically Buffalo? What are they calling it?
Where I think so.
Yeah. Triple A, whatever. And his next start's going to be exactly like his first start in AAA, where he's going to throw 6 innings and strike out 10 or something. And then he'll just, and then it'll just be back up. So just to me, it feels like a waste of time to me to send him down. Because either they're going to get into a situation where he is, where they are thin at the starting pitcher position in the majors currently, and they send him down to AAA, and he continues to dominate AAA like we all expect him to. And then you get into a situation of, well, then why isn't he with the big club if he's dominating AAA like this? Or it's going to be one of those up-down situations, which we've never seen end well. So I don't really see the point of sending him down and not letting him work it out in the majors, personally.
Yeah, listen. I was surprised. I thought they would be pushing the Pete Walker agenda there.
Yeah, me too.
And letting him work it out at the major league level, because, like you just said, like, I'm pretty confident that Nate Pearson knows how to blow away AAA hitters. It seems pretty right. obvious that he can do that fairly easily. But. I do see the point that, like, he looked beyond.
He looked bad. He looked really bad.
Yeah, he looked very, very bad. Like, he had no idea where anything was going, and it was the first start off of an injury, technically, right? He had a minor league start, like you said, where he sort of threw a lot of pitches and strikeouts and walks. It was huge location issues. And if it was that he was brought up too quickly, which is what it seems like they're saying, by sending him back down, that's a couple times now already that we've seen guys just sort of like rushed back. And it feels like there's a sense, that thing we talked about in the offseason about they had clearly shifted their roster moves, the way that they're, you know, managing the fringes of the roster. They shifted that into winning now or winning soon. And there is a real sense of urgency you feel with everything they're doing. In fact, that it's early May and they've brought back now Springer before he was ready to fully play. And it looks like, based on the call down, that they made a mistake with Pearson being up so early.
Yeah, I'm starting to, like, I think, I kind of wanted to bring this up last week, but I don't really know how to go about it because I don't really know how to have this conversation without sounding like Jay's talky conspiracy idiot guy. But I am currently wondering what is going on with the Blue Jays sort of health and development departments. And I know those aren't the necessarily proper terms, and I don't know who's involved in these decisions or who's doing what, but it does seem like there is a inordinate amount of injuries. And as you say, guys are being rushed back or evaluated to come up too soon. And I know that, like, we've seen that happen with every team. I'm not saying this is like a Blue Jays only problem or anything. And I know there's lots of injuries league wide right now, but it's starting to become consistent enough that it's making me wonder, I guess, if something's going on, like, especially compared to, you know, the wonder stories of Stroman in 2015, coming back healthy quickly, or other but then I guess the flip side of that is Jose Bautista was never the same after trying to throw out Adam Jones at first base. But I do wonder what if it's just sort of baseball is random and it's a luck of the draw kind of sport and the Jays are just getting hurt and it's a weird year, or whether there is some sort of something being overlooked somewhere. But I don't really have an answer to that, and it makes me feel dumb.
Yeah, listen, it's a tough, as you said, it is happening all over baseball. It's hard to posit exactly what it is, and I'm obviously not a medical expert, so it would be foolish for me to sort of pretend that I do. But, you know, it feels like it lies, you know, baseball, of course, is a very violent game on the body. It's not a contact sport, but the rigors of, like, pitching, especially, very hard on your body. And I think player usage, something part of this, and you know, I'm sure somebody smarter than me will look into this and either disprove or prove this, but it seems to me that player usage is a lot different than it used to be. And we talk a lot about bullpens. You hear that sort of being put into the baseball conversation a lot, but you know, doing the Jays recaps, going through every game when I do Blue Monday at the start of every week for the Patreon, they use a lot of pitchers in every game. Like even games where they win fairly convincingly, they go through four pitchers in every game. And you look at a guy like David Phelps, I would say, who went on the IL with a lat strain. It's like there's no surprise that eventually David Phelps was going to get hurt from just like pitching basically every other day. Like basically these guys are pitching a ton. They get used a lot. It's been interesting because boy, they have a lot of relievers on the IL right now.
Yeah, your point about them using a lot of pitchers, I think, is a good one, because the other day, or last week, or sometime when I was watching a game, and we had, I'm trying to remember if it was Mats or Ray, just give me a second, it was Robbie Ray against Atlanta on April 30th. He went 6 2/3, and I had to sort of like, I almost did a double take, seeing that there was a starting pitcher going into the seventh for the Jays. And like, you look at Ray's sort of numbers, and like, by all accounts, Robbie Ray has been pretty good for the Jays, but he's 5-5-6, 6 2/3, 6-6 in his, and like, none of these I think have been hooked at the wrong time or anything. Like, he's throwing 90 plus pitches, but it is, I agree with you that it's interesting to me how many pitchers this team uses.
Robbie Ray going to be good. You heard it here first.
Hey, not gonna say no to it. The way the rotation is currently shaping up, I will not say no to what Robbie Ray is giving the Blue Jays.
Yeah, it is. It has snowballed quickly. I mean, it's sort of funny. Anthony Kay is the example I go back to again. He's a good example of like, until you really see the, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with Anthony Kay, but it is sort of like you can sort of tell pretty quickly in a situation like this about who really has sticking power as a major league starter right now. It's really like fairly black and white. It's like Ross Stripling is sort of the exact cutoff line. It's like he's probably, you have to be better than Ross Stripling to be a starting pitcher in the major leagues. That's sort of like he's the exact.
Yeah, I think that's, and like, yeah, no, I agree. I don't know where I was going to go with that.
Yeah, Stripling, I remember when they acquired him, there was like the, man, I can't believe L.A. really selling low, and like they have all those pitchers, and he's a guy that's like been in their rotation, and his numbers always look really good as like a long reliever in like the Tyler Chatwood role. It's like, man, I wonder why they didn't mind moving on from him at all. It's like, oh, he's the like stereotypical six starter. It's like, oh, I get,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and especially when there was all sort of with all of the many injuries that we've discussed, when he was like, oh, Ross Stripling's back, it felt like a relief, and then it was like, oh, Ross Stripling's back.
It's basically a bullpen game.
Yeah, which like, when you have four other guys who are throwing well, that I think that's fine, but in the current situation, it's funny. When Pearson was sort of, when Pearson was called up, and it was Nate Pearson is starting this weekend, and it was sort of like, okay, great. I was talking with some friends about how the prospect, pardon the pun, of Pearson coming in and being not even dominant, just good. How fundamentally that changes the look of the team, which clearly is not how it shook out, but it is kind of wild to me how, which I think says a lot about the team, and I think sort of where, what we can get into as we talk more about the last week of the games, how close I think the Blue Jays actually are, which, you know, we speculated about it in preseason and in the first month. But now that we're 35-ish games into the season, I think game 35 is tonight, I think it's clear that this is a good team. And it makes all these injuries and all these little setbacks all the more frustrating to me. In the sense of like, man, if they could just add one more legit starter and then literally George Springer, this and like stop making every roster move have to be exchanged for an injury. Like, this team could be legitimately quite good, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, as you say, it is easy to see it. A lot of the signifiers are there. You're seeing the run differential. You're seeing the offense. You know, a lot of times now you're sort of not really paying attention and you're like, oh, they have seven runs. That's pretty cool. It happens a couple times a week, it seems like, which is nice. And even games where they don't seem to be hitting all that well, they're putting up like four, which is sort of the real sign of a really good offense is when they don't look good. How much are they scoring versus right. Like, it's easy to look great and score 10, and which they have done as well in spades. But yeah, I think that very thing about Pearson, which is sort of where we jumped off here. I think maybe even more than a third baseman for me right now is I think a pitcher that changes the requirement of Pearson is what's, mm-hmm. is what really matters right now, because yeah, right now they need him.
That's a great way to phrase it.
Yeah, right now they need him to be a huge part of the rotation, right? They need him to come in and be like a showstopper. Or you can use Manoah instead if you want to just say
sure.
Prospect picture X that we haven't seen. If they can get somebody that, you know, pushes Ray down from like, on a really good day, we accept this as our two, which is like Ray, Mats, each of them have had three games where they were in that level. This year, push those guys down to 3-4 and have a legit guy as your number two. I think then you have that prospect slot for Nate Pearson, which if he blows the doors off, you're like, damn, now we've really got something cooking. So I think that for me is what's really shifted.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that also clears things up, you know, looking ahead a little bit, but come trade deadline time, that sort of dictates what you're spending those extra prospect pieces on. I think, like, if you have that 1-4 and Pearson's that guy in the five and he's average, then it's like, okay, maybe we need to toss a prospect for another pitcher. Or it's okay, we have 4+ starters. Now let's toss those prospects at a third baseman.
Right.
And so I think that, and like just looking at it now, again, apologies for once again drawing fucking lines to the 2015 team, but like, they're two games above 500 and seventh in the majors in run differential. So like and to even take that even further, to go away from, oh, well, the bullpen's been amazing, they are eighth in runs scored in the majors. So clearly the offense, despite not having a third baseman and arguably a left fielder or a catcher, the offense is like figuring it out, I think. And as we've said on this show many times, you can find guys to hit. You can find left fielders. You can find third basemen. You can find, maybe not catchers, but you can find those scrap guys to do what you need to do. Again, like we said, 2015, we had Ryan Goins and Kevin Pillar playing two positions. So the pitching, I think it's interesting how in the span of, I don't know, 14 days, we've gone from go get Chris Bryant immediately to, man, we just need like a second starter.
Mm-hmm. Should we go get Max Scherzer?
I had that thought when we were playing the Nationals, and I think I saw Jonah make a joke about it. Someone made a joke about it on Twitter, and it has not left my brain in weeks. My new thing that I'm all about is still the Bryant Hendricks combo.
That's a good listen.
But Scherzer, hey, if someone wants to toss us Max Scherzer with the struggling Washington Nationals.
Yeah, absolutely right. More to get to. We know things about the playoffs and the other sports. We know the Maple Leafs will be in them and playing the Canadiens. Maybe that's enough. Maybe that's enough to pull us back. That's pretty tasty. And
yeah,
we know the Raptors won't be playing the play-in game, so we can put that to bed for another year. Talk about that after this. The Maple Leafs make the playoffs. We're talking about the Maple Leafs because we've basically stayed true to our word all year long, that we really only care about the playoffs. And even then, we're going to be conditional. But Maple Leafs, Canadians, and you have to think, you gotta think, Jake, the Maple Leafs are the better team than the Canadians by a reasonable margin, to the point that you feel reasonably safe saying, I can reasonably watch a first round of a playoff matchup and enjoy myself, correct?
Yeah. I think, well, here's the thing. I think that it is, as you say, even from the layperson's viewpoint of people who, let's say, don't care that much about the Maple Leafs in the regular season, the Leafs are by far a better team than the Montreal Canadiens. Yeah. However, the specter of the Leafs being the much better team in the first round of the playoffs against their most hated rival is not a prospect that I enjoy.
What if they just absolutely cakewalk them? How fun.
It'd be amazing. But we're Leaf fans, so I am conditioned to think of the worst possible scenario.
I don't know if I can ever remember them handily winning a series. Has that ever happened?
They swept the Senators like 20 years ago.
Okay.
I want to say.
Right.
But they were like the 7 seed. That was an upset.
Right.
Have
they ever been the better team that we've seen and crowned somebody?
Not in the 90s, but like the only time I can remember them trouncing a team in the playoffs would be when they were the underdog, which would have been because they were the 7 seed in that. Here we go. Let's go back and see what we have. They have won. So in 2001, the last time they won a series, they won in 7 games. 2001, 2002, they won both their series in 7 games. 2000, 2001 was when they swept the Senators, beat the Senators in six. The Leafs haven't won, other than that one sweep, the Maple Leafs haven't won a series in less than, in 99, 2000, they won in 6 games against the Senators, 6 against the Flyers and Penguins in 99. I can't find the Leafs ever winning in 5 games or a sweep. Since the 80s, when it was a best of five. 1986, 85, 86, they beat the Blackhawks 3-0 in a best of five series.
So we've seen it. We saw it once.
Once, yeah.
When they owned the Senators. So
we've seen it one time in our lives.
We get a shot at that against the Canadiens.
I've said all year that I have greatly enjoyed the Maple Leafs finally winning a division, and the way they did it was just by beating the crap out of the other Canadian teams all year. Hugely enjoyable. To cap that off with blowing the doors off the Canadiens would be, like, obviously I don't want them to lose in the second round, but like if they swept the Canadiens and just like beat their doors off, I'd be pretty satisfied with regardless of how the season ends.
It would already handily be the best Maple Leaf season of our adult lives.
Yes.
Handily. In terms of accomplishment, nothing is close.
Absolutely.
Matthews, well, you have to think and win the scoring title.
They haven't won a playoff round in our adult lives, so that's a good start.
Yes.
But yeah, Matthews scoring title, winning a division, doing it by beating up on Canadian teams.
Yeah. It's an ideal and, you know, listen, there's a good chance. So that being said, that seems like a pretty good, easily attainable picture that you just painted. What is your confidence level in anything like that happening?
Pretty low. Like I don't think they're going to lose. I think that despite all of my reservations, I genuinely think this Leafs team is extremely good. Do I think they're going to sweep them? Absolutely not. I'm going to say 6 games.
Six. That seems crazy.
I could see like a couple like hand-wringing games and then like I think it's going to be 2-2. They'll come back to Toronto for game 5, which they'll win, and then they'll just smoke them on the road in game 6. That's how I see this going.
They are 7-2 against the Canadiens this year.
Yeah, and like they beat them like, and that's the other thing with this sort of the way the divisions are aligned is this is the first time I can remember where season series actually might mean something to indicate how the playoffs can go.
Right, because they all played each other 10 times.
Yeah, and they played them like 4 days ago.
Yeah.
So.
Pardon me, 7-2-1. 7-2-0-1. So there you go. Very exciting. It's very exciting. I think I have high hopes. I think I'm going to let myself have high hopes, but we'll see. How long do you think, how much of it, like say they do beat the doors off the Canadians, how long will it take for you to like get, because it seems like you don't even have a foot on the wagon right now, right? It seems...
Oh no. 5 minutes into the first period of the playoffs, I'll be there.
Yeah. Okay.
The first time, like there's Wayne Simmonds will get into a fight with somebody on the Habs, and I'll be all in immediately.
Montreal. Boy, I don't even know. Everyone likes Cole Caulfield.
Does not take me much to get wrapped up in hockey playoffs, even less when it's against the Habs.
The Maple Leafs. The goddamn Maple Leafs. It's exciting.
I think I'm ready to get in. I really, really hope we can, like, watch games on a patio by the third round or something.
That seems achievable.
I was thinking about it today. I think it would be really, not hollow. Hollow is the wrong word. But it would be really unfortunate if the Maple Leafs finally made a deep playoff run and we all just had to watch it on our couch.
I mean, it would be sickeningly poetic that like...
Yes, it sure would.
The Maple Leafs have the parade and nobody can go to. It would be... I thought that was going to happen last year. If you remember.
That's
I was
right.
like convinced... That it was like they're gonna it would be the one cup that they win in Toronto with no fans somehow, and then they won't be able to have it. They'll have no parade. It'll be the weirdest thing that ever happens.
Yeah, and like that would be, if there was ever a year for the Leafs to actually do it, it would absolutely be the year where they can't have fans or a parade.
I'd be thrilled. It's thrilling. I think similar to how just hockey being on in the. I guess a year plus ago, not the year plus, but a little under a year ago, how like hockey being on was like a weird warmth to it. I think there's going to be some good scenes here in NHL playoffs. I have faith.
And like, honestly, who wants to go to a bar to watch hockey before like the second round anyway?
Yeah. Listen, crazy. Going to be some emotional times. Here's the thing, Jake. I didn't even ask you this. It's the only question that matters in Leaf Nation right now.
Mm.
If you had a line to Kyle Dubas and he reached out to you, who would you be starting in game one?
I think you got to go Jack.
You have to, right?
I feel like you got to dance with who you came to dance with and whatnot.
Well, I mean, Freddie Anderson starts tonight. If I'm not mistaken.
He does. Yes, he does.
But far behind in every metric.
I mean, far from me to really have an opinion. It's like I haven't watched enough full games. But like, Jack Campbell is 17-2.
Yes.
And two, I guess.
.923 save percentage.
Yeah. Hard, really hard to go against a guy who's lost 4 games all year.
Yeah. No argument there. And on the other side...
And he's beat the Habs 3 times in the last 14 days.
I don't know anything about the Habs. I don't care to learn.
I know that I hate them.
They still have Shea Weber, I want to say.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That's about it. On the other side of things, a rare flipperoo, the Raptors were officially eliminated from the play-in contention.
They were.
I got to think these guys just want to get the fuck out of Tampa Bay.
They have to, although who knows how long they're going to have to stay there.
Well, the coaching staff people, whatever.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Players, get the hell out.
Oh, just like to leave like personally, not for
absolutely.
Yeah.
I can't imagine they want to be there a minute longer than they already have been.
I'm still having a hard time feeling any which way about this. I have to admit.
I felt pangs of sadness today because the 12th is the anniversary of the Kawhi shot.
Right, of course.
2 years since the Kawhi shot. I was feeling pangs of, like, how unfair it is that the 2019-2020 team didn't get to end their season in front of the Raptors fans.
Mm-hmm.
because like that team was so really special, and I think they had a great connection with the city, and I think there was a lot of pride. And who knows what another offseason will bring and where we'll be when the Raptors are playing in Toronto in front of fans again. And it's like,
yes,
those specific players together at that specific time didn't get to have their like curtain call.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think that will, you know, if Kyle Lowry does not resign next season and the Raptors are finally playing games from fans in Toronto and the first time they get to give Lowry an ovation is in another jersey, that will be very upsetting.
Yeah. I think. It's upsetting.
However, for where we are currently in this season, I watched the, I guess, call it the death knell game, the Washington game other day.
Yeah.
And there was like a moment when it ended of like sadness that they aren't making the playoffs, but then it was kind of like, I don't know, you're just not going to get me to take this season from a Raptors perspective that seriously.
Yeah.
Like, half the fun of a Raptors, we've said this before, half the fun of a Raptors playoff run is the fans. And like, if they're in Tampa with no fans and no one's out watching them, and it's been such a weird year anyway, like from a player personnel perspective for so many reasons, I don't know. I have a hard time saying it's indicative of the team itself, and I have a hard time being that upset about it. I kind of just want them all to have a nice summer.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. Yeah, it's hard to see. I would love to see Kyle come back. It's sort of the only...
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see who they take in the draft. I don't know anything about the NBA draft, and I haven't... I don't know about you. I personally haven't paid attention to an NBA draft in like almost 10 years. Like, I just haven't cared at all.
I was shocked to learn that they have like the 7th pick, maybe.
That's great.
That's fun.
I have all the faith in the world of there being a really clever draft pick where everyone's like, oh, they got great value there.
I am perfectly fine with watching Masai and Bobby have a lottery pick.
Because they have been slowly proven right about Malachi Flynn, I believe.
Yes, he was just won Rookie of the Month.
Yeah, exactly right. Just from getting a little playing time, which I think we always knew was going to happen. I personally was always of that opinion.
Yeah. He's proven it right.
Yeah, they got to be almost done, right?
I think so.
Free our friends from the...
I think they'd have to be.
Shackles of finally being off the beat.
Yeah, they have 3 games left.
There we go. Bulls, Mavericks, Pacers. There we go. Thursday, Friday, Sunday. There you go. Cool. Yeah, boy, and then just home to bed. That's all I would do if I was an NBA player. is there anything else? Anything else happen in sports? I mean, we have sort of the way everything else is shaping up in the NBA. We have Russell Westbrook setting the triple doubles record.
I feel like that should have been a bigger deal.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually.
That's like, I know it's because it's Russ, and like I would say he is a divisive player, but like, that's an insane record he broke.
Future generations are going to be confused when they learn about Russell Westbrook and they learn that we were mean to him all the time.
Yes, I think that's accurate.
They're going to look at the numbers.
181 triple doubles is bananas.
They're going to look at the numbers and say, this is unbelievable what this guy did for the last 5, 6, 7 years. It's crazy. Was he lauded as the best player in the league? And people were like, oh God, no. He was the worst. You couldn't trade him. He was the worst contract we'd ever had in the league until he was traded for another bad contract. It's like,
yeah,
amazing.
It's a very good point.
Amazing. Yeah, I'm glad that this sometimes happens, but public opinion sort of swings back and forth on the same guy. It feels like we're starting to swing back into appreciating Russell Westbrook for what he is.
I hope so.
I feel like the same thing happened to Melo, right? It's like,
yeah, and then when he was playing out his career and everyone's like, Melo, we love Melo now.
It's like, oh yeah, being an amazing scorer, like, is still really impressive. Right? That's sort of we get into that, the nerds, which we happens in every sport, is you sort of get in the way and you focus on all the things the guy takes away and you forget. Like, being one of the best pure scorers ever is like really impressive. That's really quite amazing. And the same with Russell Westbrook, like the way he plays every game all the time really hard, especially in this time. It's like, you should probably appreciate that this guy goes after it all the time. But nevertheless, that's, you know, get a load of this society, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. Oh.
What else? Anything else? Anything Spurs? Anything you want to say about Mourinho getting hired somewhere else?
Oh, I'm just glad he's gone. Glad he's gone, and I'm glad his weird alkalites can stop caring about Spurs.
What do you want? What about F1? You watching F1?
I'm not, you know? I want to, but I'm just never getting up for it.
No chance for me. I watch the...
I enjoy it. Yeah. When I watch it, I enjoy it. But I'm never going to get up.
All the respect in the world for people who are doing it. People who watch the Netflix show and were like, yes, this is enough. I'm in. I watched the Netflix show and enjoyed it a lot. But it's like, just the racing, I can't. I tried. Sometimes I will have it on and I won't really be paying attention. But I can't lie and say that I find it gripping, you know?
Yeah.
Nevertheless. People seem to enjoy it. I think their viewership's way up, I want to say.
Yeah, the Netflix show seems to have done good work for them.
Yeah. I mean, we love our streaming services, don't we, folks?
We love a show.
Yeah. Love to watch a show. That is too true. We love to watch shows. So we will shift gears and start talking about watching shows and watching wrestling and listening to music and answering your questions in the mailbag after this. We opened things back up talking about music and wrestling and television, as we often do. The culture, just the meats of our primordial cultural stew. Jake, as a music guy, capital M, capital G, what would you say your song of the week is?
I know I did this 2 weeks ago, but I'm doing it again because it's a new album cycle and there's singles coming out. Song of the week this week is Boys Will Be Girls by We Are the Union. I mentioned them a couple weeks ago with their song Morbid Obsessions. This is the other single from the album coming out. It's great. It's a really cool sort of queer, fuck gender kind of anthem, which is happening more and more in the ska scene, it seems, which is sort of an extremely forward-looking progressive scene, which it doesn't get the credit for. But it's a really cool song and a really good video, and you should listen to them because they're great.
Yeah, ska doesn't get the respect it deserves.
Right? It's happening.
It seems like it is happening.
It's happening.
For Match of the Week, we're going to look ahead to tonight's AEW Dynamite's Big John Moxley against Yuji Nagata, who is like a Japanese sort of... legend, I would say. You'd say legend. Yeah. He's been around for a very long time. He's defending... Mox is defending the New Japan US title on an American TV show, which is quietly a very big deal. It's sort of... the fact that it's Nagata is cool and adds to it, but the real mystique of this is that a Japanese belt is being defended on an American television show. It just sort of... Has it been the lead of anything? It's just sort of quietly being mentioned, but... it's a big signifier. It sort of allows fans to whet their appetite, similar to how Kenta showing up, I talked about a couple months ago, was a huge deal for that. Idea of it happening is almost bigger than it happening. This is sort of the same thing. Should be very good, as Mox is somebody who loves wrestling and will have done his homework and will know how to put this on at the right time. Jake, as we often do in our houses, we watch television shows and movies. What television show or movie did you watch in the last week that caught your interest?
We watched Pen 15, which is very funny and very good. And I highly recommend it. It's basically a show these two women made about their experiences in junior high, where they play themselves as junior high schoolers, but they're both in their 30s. But all the other characters are played by actual junior high aged people. And it's very funny and very good. And if you like sort of uncomfortable cringe comedy, let's call it, it's pretty good.
boy, my wife and I watch television in bed because we are a millennial couple.
Of course.
And we have a projector, as I've often said, on the head of our bed that makes the foot of our bed, the wall there, basically our screen. So that's where we put on our Frasier. That's where we put on our shows that you're not really paying attention to. They're just there for you to doze off to, your mm-hmm. classic yep. sitcoms.
We do the same.
My wife has been revisiting The Mindy Project, which is
yes,
the show that we watched on our first date, as a matter of fact.
Really?
Yes. Well, Netflix, huh. Netflix and chill. Very first date. It obviously goes off the rails a little later on, but it's a sweet little show there. There's a little pocket. I think it's sort of similarly to The New Girl, where like there's a pocket there where there's mm-hmm. some really good episodes, and then it sort of she gets with somebody, and you're like, well, that yeah, you'll never come back from this, and they never.
I know
do.
Exactly what you're talking yeah. about, and I agree.
But yeah, funny to revisit it after basically not seeing it for 5 years, I would say, because it was 6 years, hell. Yeah, 6 years. Not seeing it for 6 years. Funny. And I made the, I don't know if this is true for you, but sometimes, you know, somebody plays a character for a long time and they're always that character in your head, right?
Mm.
You'll basically, like Kramer, right? People still call him Kramer, probably. That's who they know him as. and then sometimes that person will outgrow the role and they sort of become better known for their real name.
Yeah.
So I was revisiting this show for the first time in a while, and I feel like Chris Messina has graduated in my head from "Hey, that's Danny Castellano" to "Hey, that's Chris Messina." If I pick up,
I don't. Yeah, I don't know if I had the connection to The Mindy Project enough to call him Danny Castellano in my head.
Yes, he was always Chris Messina to you.
Yeah, I think so.
I
think he's fun. He's a funny guy.
Yeah. Anyway, he's funny on the show. So yeah, we move forward to some mailbag questions. Garrett Swan, if Jake and Zoob experienced a Freaky Friday switching of the bodies, whose wife would notice first?
It's a great question. I feel like Melissa would.
I don't know.
I don't know. We're both pretty, like, especially nowadays, we're both pretty sedentary fellas.
Well, and also I believe in us realizing we had switched bodies and like play,
yeah,
like I would play you. I wouldn't immediately become me in your situation.
But the question is whose wife would notice first?
Yeah.
Who would notice quickest?
Ooh,
or like,
yeah,
like I think we'd, I agree with you. We would figure it out. I think we'd trick them for a bit.
I think Cassie would notice because I would try to cook something. She'd be like, so what are you making for dinner? And I'd be like, oh, you know, Tex-Mex. Yeah, and Melissa would notice because you would start cooking.
Right. Cooking is what would out us, I guess.
Like, yeah, the makeup challenge on The Circle that changed the whole game
yeah.
this year.
Yeah. 100%. I was going to say, like, oh, you would put on, like, a non-stained shirt.
Sure.
And Cassie would be like, what's up?
No, highly unlikely.
Yeah.
Midawson with a classic. Would you rather fight one bull-sized Canadian goose or 10 Canadian goose-sized bulls?
I feel like 10 Canadian goose-sized bulls, just punt them.
Yeah. Although I think Canadian geese are bigger than you give them credit for.
They are, but like there's not. But a bull is definitely bigger.
Yeah, and a goose that size would have a really dangerous neck, I feel.
That's what, and like a strong bite.
Yeah. Dave, which teams in each pro league would you cheer for if you didn't cheer for Toronto?
Ooh, that's a good one because I hate so many other teams.
And the other tricky part is for some sports I don't have, like hockey, yeah, for example. It's like I would just not watch hockey if I couldn't cheer for the Leafs.
Yeah, it'd be like if I had to pick, it's like Vegas because they're the one I have no opinion on.
Yeah, I would pick Colorado, I guess, because everybody liked Colorado. If you were in high school and or grade school in like 1998.
Yeah, exactly.
96 Avs. That's a transformative team.
Are we talking in general, or are we talking specifically this season?
That's another good question because it does become
That changes my baseball answer.
You're able to. That's funny. I agree with you. I feel the same way that. When they're not your favorite team, you can just sort of, you can go on the style of team that you like based on what they're doing at the time. And like, if the team has bad management, say you were like, oh, I like the Rockies in my spare time. And you're like, ah, never mind, fuck him. Like, you would just, never mind. It's very easy to, like, do that.
Right. And, like, I don't particularly care one way or the other about the Padres, but if it was this season, it's fun as hell.
Yeah. I kept tabs on the Reds for a little while there. Votto sort of brings me over to them, so I have that to watch. And they, the NL Central, it doesn't take a lot to suddenly be a good team. It's sort of, that has always been appealing to me. It's like, you have to get as good as the Cardinals, and for a little bit the Cubs did it, but like, you don't have to be a like super great team. Yeah.
I like the Twins.
I've always had a soft spot for the Mariners. So
yeah, same actually.
Because they're on just a lot, you know?
And like growing up, Ken Griffey, obviously.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Randy Johnson, Jay Buhner, come on.
Basketball's tough. Hate a lot about, I guess it's Portland at this point.
Right. Basketball, I've said this a couple times in the show. I have a real soft spot for the Knicks.
I don't.
Nothing I want more than the Knicks to beat the Nets somehow in the playoffs this year.
I mean, yes, that would be great. But I don't want them to win.
See, this is sort of that sort of reason that it would be great is sort of my whole argument in the favor of the Knicks. Is that it's just
right,
like,
but it's only great if they beat the Nets but like it's not, to me it's not great if they beat like the Lakers.
But what if they beat, but any team in the East, you can do it and you'd be like, I wouldn't mind the Knicks beating them. You like if the Knicks beat the Sixers,
that's
amazing.
That's true.
If they beat the Bucks, amazing. If they beat the Heat, amazing.
But that's all but that's not because of the Knicks.
They beat Boston.
That's because the stakes have been upped as Raptors fans.
That's right. And the Knicks is temporarily a safe haven from all of that.
That's fair. It's a fair point.
Knicks rule. Joey Tribbiani. and then, yeah, baseball, I could watch any two teams and be like, I like both of them mostly. It's more like who I don't like in baseball. And it's just like,
yeah, take away the AL East.
Boston, Houston.
All of the AL East and Houston, I think.
Boston, Houston, Tampa, and in most of the NL East as well. I don't like the NL East really.
Yeah. I hate the Phillies, hate the Braves. Marlins are fine, I guess.
I guess, in that they're like a blight on the sport.
Yeah. But like, I nothing the Marlins.
Florida baseball is a mistake. I don't know why.
You're right. All the East teams. I'm okay with, no, all the East teams.
Yeah. You can say the Mets. No chance.
Houston and the Rangers and the Royals, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, it's fine.
I think you nailed it there. I think that's exactly right. If they put cup holders in the seats at the Dome, but you were guaranteed to never attend a Jays win again, would you make the trade-off?
No. What? Is it that hard to put it on the floor?
Well, the caveat of this is you could just agree to never go to a game again anymore, right?
Right.
Right.
Or you could just put your can of beer on the floor like an adult.
Yeah, I would not trade that. You got to want to go see a win.
Yeah. Well, absolutely not.
You go to watch the home team win. Skelly, power.
You root for the home team. It's in the song.
Absolutely right. Power rank these homemade cookies: oatmeal, chocolate chip, ginger molasses, peanut butter.
Chocolate chip number one.
Easy.
Peanut butter number two.
I would put ginger molasses number two. Melissa made unreal ginger molasses cookies this year.
I would put ginger molasses number three.
Sure.
And then oatmeal four.
Yep. Just that flip, and I agree. Yeah. Ginger molasses. Melissa made crazy good ginger molasses cookies this year.
I do like a ginger molasses cookie.
They're so good. If Austin Matthews, John Tavares, Mitch Marner, William Nylander, and Jack Campbell were professional baseball players, which positions would they play? I think the easy one is Campbell as a catcher, obviously.
I feel like Austin's a third baseman.
I'll tell you what I have as my, in order of like confidence in the answer.
Okay.
I have Tavares as a pitcher because he's just like a weird, normal, never expressing himself weirdo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or just like, he's always just staring straight forward and you're like, I guess he's the pitcher. I have Marner as a shortstop.
Interesting.
Because he's little and he's fast and he's creative. Matthews, I see as like a starting center fielder.
Okay.
And then I don't really know where you put Willie. Second, I guess.
Yeah. See, I have Mitch as the second baseman.
Mm-hmm.
Willie to me is like a left fielder.
Melissa says Willie shortstop, but I see him as infielder. He's too small.
Mm.
And the hair, yeah, like Bo. That's a good point.
I have Willie as a corner outfielder. I'd have Mitch at second. I think Austin's a third baseman. He's kind of bulky.
Yeah.
He's got that just like, just kind of hit it to the moon kind of build.
Well,
And then I agree with your Campbell and Tavares picks.
Yeah, Tavares has to be a pitcher. It's the only way to explain him to other people. James Nielsen, final question of the week. The Preakness is this weekend. I believe the Kentucky Derby was last weekend, or the weekend before it. Have you ever bet on the horses?
You know, I have.
I've bet on horses many times in my life.
I've done it once, I think. It would have been in university in my heavy betting days, and the Kentucky Derby was on. And I picked a horse with big odds, and I did not win.
The small town I grew up in has a racetrack that is across the street from the house I grew up in.
I've never been to the horses.
So, I have bet on horses since before I was allowed to legally.
I would like to go to the horses and bet on the horses. That seems fun.
Yeah, harness racing at the Hanover Raceway. Yeah, and I generally bet on the Derby.
Okay. Seems like a good time.
And then maybe bet on the Preakness. We'll see.
My problem with betting on the horses is that I'm always going to just take the biggest odds.
Sure.
Every time. And it'll never win.
When I was a kid, I didn't mind the third biggest long shot to finish fifth. That was the sort of shit that I like to fuck with.
Right.
Down card stuff or taking the three of the four favorites to finish 1, 2, 3 in some order, but the favorite to not finish there. That wasn't the one I used to do a lot. little box trifecta. Yeah.
I've never understood the multi.
Yeah. My systems. It's been too many years because this is back in my late adolescence. So I wouldn't remember it now, but a quick refresher and I could do it a little smarter. But yeah, I lost money on the Derby this time. So I didn't really know. We just put it on before the race and I was like, yeah, this and this. Anyway, that is it for the mailbag. Nothing left to do. Is that it? Yeah, that is it. Nothing left to do. You know what would be nice? I've always wanted to go to Woodbine while we're.
Yeah, me too.
Because the
I used to live so close there too, and I just never did.
The Hanover Raceway is harness racing, so while it is exciting, you get the guys riding on the horses. Boy, oh boy! But I've never done off track. I've never done any of that.
No.
You can. You can do that at the Hanover Raceway, but not for me. No, thank you.
Yeah, I don't see the appeal.
Crying dog. Yeah, that's it. We got nothing left to do but answer the question. Well, I guess one more question. We're talking about mailbag. It's one more question, and that is whether we are sad or not sad for another week. We'll answer that after this. And we close things out. People always want to know. People always want to know, Jake. They stop us in the street when they could, when we weren't wearing masks and hats, and they knew what we looked like. And dark, enormous sunglasses. Did you do big sunglasses and a hat when you go outside with your mask?
No, I actually haven't worn sunglasses in a long time because of the mask, because they fog up, and I'm too dumb to figure it out.
Oh.
So. Also, in the winter, you wear a hood and the glasses and the mask. And it's just you're the Unabomber.
Yeah, but it's, you have an excuse.
Project a more friendly,
wow,
facing thing.
I never took you for someone who was, had that sort of mindset.
I'm not. I don't know why I said
that. That very thing is the benefit. Looking unidentifiable. Pretty fun. Anyway, not that I have anything to worry about being identified for. whatever the new Reese thing is, that's what I'm most likely to be holding on to. Speaking of which, had a Reese bar, Jake?
A Reese bar?
Yeah, I had a Reese bar recently.
No, I haven't.
You know, I'm always trying to get the latest Reese products. And the Reese bar, and I had, the O. Henry one that is it's like a gamer branded. I think it's Level Up. O. Henry Level Up.
Okay.
Did not. O. Henry Level Up was not so great. I didn't love it. It's got pretzel in it. It's like pretzel, nougat, caramel, and peanut. It's a level up. Didn't love it. Reese's Bar, not so bad. Not so bad. Basically exactly what it sounds like, right? So you have Reese's peanut
just
butter.
Just like a bar, just peanut butter and a chocolate bar.
Yeah. It, sort of broken up like a caramel, except it's peanut butter. Little bit bigger squares, I would say. Anyway, I liked it. It's peanut butter and chocolate.
As long as you liked it, that's all that
matters. It's Reese's peanut butter with chocolate. That's, you know, you could do that pretty much any combination and I would be into it. I think the prime example of that is the Reese's egg. I think that's the best you're going to get. You ever have a Reese's egg? Amazing.
No, that I've always wanted to. Every time I see them, I'm like, I should grab one of those, and I never do.
I bet they're worse now than they used to be, as all things are, candy.
Yeah, probably.
But, boy, that's a quality one. Anyway, that's my little snack review for the week. I should expand that. It should become my new thing, is the chocolate bar guy. I sort of am, and I always have been. But anyway, Jake, that leads me down the road of asking you whether you are sad or not sad. Are you sad or not sad?
I'm going to go a not sad on a similar note. My wife, Cassie, made a focaccia bread yesterday.
Oh, I saw that on Instagram story.
It was so good. Focaccia is my favorite bread.
Mm.
And she never made before. And it was so good. And I am choosing that as my sad, not sad, because in these depths of the pandemic days, it's, you know, little things.
She'd never made one before.
No, but very good.
She did an excellent job.
It was excellent.
Yeah, it looked... What was it? Did you just go oil and what, flavored it
some
all?
Some rosemary, mm-hmm. some little bit of parm, a little bit of... what else is on there? Oregano? Oregano and thyme.
Whew.
It was good shit. It was good shit.
I tell you, there's nothing like eating food.
I love food.
When it's hot and delicious, to me, that's the best. Boy, we made. Speaking of which, we made smash burgers. I finally convinced my wife. One of those things where like somebody asks you what you want to eat, and you say the same thing over and over again for 2 months, and then eventually the person's like, "Fine, I'll actually make that." And they're so good. They're so good. Homemade hamburgers, eating them, delicious. Topping them, eating them, delicious. Anyway,
are you sad or not sad?
I'll go not sad. For no reason in particular, frankly, just sort of like we continue to breeze forward. I suppose the anniversary of the wedding is pretty neat. It's very nice.
Yeah.
Bittersweet, of course, 'cause we are more locked down than ever. We actually had more freedom to move about the country
I guess that's true.
A year ago than we do now. So it limits some of it, but incredible to have been married for a year, to the love of my life. It's awesome. So I'm going to enjoy that about being a little bit okay. And we're, for the second year in a row, not having a wedding. So.
Yep, I'm with you there.
It's our tradition. Yeah, every year we don't have a wedding.
Every year we just don't have a wedding.
Our anniversary. anyway, maybe one year we will. Who knows?
One day. Who knows?
Anyway, that is it for another week. If you want more Sports Felt, everyone's always telling us that they want more Sports Felt. You can get a Patreon membership. You get these shows with no commercials. You get extra mailbag at the end of the month. You get Sports Felt Storytime, which somebody reached out today and told me that they were listening to Storytime for the first time and they loved them. They're a ton of fun.
Well, thank you, person.
Yeah, they are showing up in the feed. So if you're interested in that sort of thing, we record them every week and they come out on Fridays as well. Every Monday, I'm doing Blue Monday. Talk about the Blue Jays for an hour every Monday morning. Boy, it seems like we do a lot of stuff on there. I'm not going to lie to you.
Who knew?
Anyway, that's patreon.com/sportsfeld. You get all that extra stuff. It's always a good time. We love having people in there getting that content because I'm making and you're making and we're making all kinds of stuff. So we hope you enjoy it. patreon.com/sportsfeld. If you don't, that's fine too. You can just listen to the show, which you just did. And we thank you so much for listening to another episode of Sports Felt.